Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Tuesday, the 9th of July, 2019. We have loads to talk about, so I'm going to get down to it. With my guests today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
Also with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Now, Andrew, I wanted to start with you first on Apple's announcement this morning that, hey, you know, we've got new laptops for the kids.
Yeah, it's almost like a three-in-one announcement. So the first part of the announcement is that there's a new model of the MacBook Air and MacBook Pro 13-inch. The MacBook Air now has Touch ID and True Tone, and it has been lowered to $1099. I think that's, what, $100 cheaper?
Yeah.
And then the MacBook Pro is $1299. It has the latest 8th gen Intel processors. It has Touch Bar and Touch ID, True Tone, and the T2 security chip.
Okay.
And the second part of the announcement is there is also Apple is starting the back to school program. So if you're a student, you can get $100 off certain Macs. And also with those certain Macs, you can get a free pair of Beats Studio 3 headphones. However, that brings me to the third part of the announcement. It's only certain Macs, and it's not the 12-inch MacBook because that has been discontinued.
Wow. So truckloads of news right there. First among them, this is the second Mac update this year because they updated the Mac Pro a month ago. So that's at least two. Dave, you bought a MacBook recently. I don't remember which one.
MacBook Air. Yeah. Two of them, in fact, back in December before they even hit the refurb store because I wanted to buy them as Christmas gifts. My son and I both needed new laptops, and the Air, the update to the Air certainly just totally fit. But at the time, we went through the process. It was not a surprise gift for my son. So
yeah,
we got to enjoy the process of sort of selecting the right computer. And when we did this for my daughter 2 years prior, what made sense at the time was a MacBook Pro. No question about it. So this time it was like, okay, the new Air is here. We know what that looks like. We also know what the MacBook Pro looks like. And we kind of went back and forth. And at the time, there really was no difference, really. I mean, there was between the Air and the MacBook Pro. They both had dual core processors. They both only one at that price point, you know, the low end MacBook Pro, which is really all I need. It's not my main machine. So the lower end Pro or the Air, totally fine for what I use it for. And the same for my son. And we went back and forth, and it was, we could maybe have saved like $100 getting the MacBook Pro, which seemed odd right at the time that Pro was cheaper than Air, but okay, you know, given what we wanted to get with it and all that stuff, that's just how it worked out. And we thought, well, we'll take the Touch ID sensor, which in retrospect was a fantastic idea. Having the Touch ID sensor on your laptop, is on your computer in general, is awesome. I really miss it when I'm at my desk in front of my iMac here. So we made the right choice at the time. And even today, I still feel like we made the right choice. But now, you know, so today, of course, I saw the news and it was like, dang it, man. Like, my computer's barely 6 months old and you've already obsoleted me. But it was very easy to dismiss that, you know, selfish, you know, twinge of I don't even know what it was. Just jealousy, I guess.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. For the excitement that, to Andrew's point, you know, Apple is updating devices with Mac in the name. And this is great.
Hooray!
You know, and so now there's three of these things that have been updated this year, right? So that's awesome. And now there's a difference between, like, if I were to go back and do the math again, they've lowered the price of the Air, like you said, by $100. But what they've really changed is the Pro, the low-end Pro, is no longer that dual core machine. It's a quad core machine at the bottom end, and it has Touch Bar, which and Touch ID, which it did not, the low end Pro did not have previously, and it's a $200 difference. If you're going RAM and storage the same, you know, I think I went with a 16 gig RAM machine for me back in the fall, and I do not regret this. But I think I probably would have been okay with 8. And I think most people are probably okay with 8. I was coming from a 4 gig MacBook Air.
Oh, sure.
The limited RAM was the reason that it finally did not do what I needed anymore. The mm-hmm. CPU was slow, but adequate. Right. The CPU was not my problem. It was RAM. So I figured, well, I'll cough up the extra $200 since you can't upgrade the RAM after right. the fact, and we'll just get exactly. these machines with 16.
Yeah.
But I think 8's enough for everybody. I also don't think 128 is enough for everybody in general. I think 256 is your minimum. So with yes. 256 mm. gigs of storage, 8 gigs of RAM, today's Air with Retina display and True Tone, retail $1,299.
Mm-hmm.
The MacBook Pro, same configuration, 8 gigs, 256, but with a quad-core processor, is $1,499. So there's a $200 delta to get that quad-core processor. And mm-hmm. if I were making the decision in the fall that I made today, I would definitely have gotten the Pro. For $200 to go up to a quad-core processor, mm-hmm. easy, easy money.
Right, yeah. And especially because when, like, in your position, it's not your main machine. This mm-hmm. is the one you take with me and you go places because you have a computer at your desk that is where you sit at your desk and do your stuff. Now,
totally.
Right. Like, so obviously that would make sense. And at the time, the Air was absolutely the right machine because that's always the spot the Air was meant to fill was
correct.
I have a computer correct. And this is my satellite. Right. So,
right.
So my occasional, I take it with me and the battery lasts all day in a conference when I'm taking notes, you know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
So that's and that's great for what it is. Like, you know, the Air, it went through a stretch where it was sort of benevolently neglected, you know, sort of like the iPad mini, like it just sort of sat there and, you know, it was an option, but why would you buy it when you could get, you know, for the same or within $100, you know, you could get a machine that had been updated more recently and had a little bit nicer specs.
Exactly. That was it. It was right. It was let's get the newer machine and not the older machine. Mm-hmm. Yep. That was exactly it. But
right.
but this is an interesting thing. I mean, the actually, I want to look at the specs here because my guess is that the Pro is still somewhat heavier than
probably
than the Air.
But it's still going to be breathtakingly lighter than my machine.
Yeah, so 3 pounds on the Pro, and I will get there on the Air. 2.75 on the Air. So I mean, enough that you would actually notice it if you looked to notice the difference,
right.
but not enough that it would make enough of a difference for no. most people to make that choice. So Apple has I mean, they got rid of the 12-inch MacBook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that was in a weird spot in the lineup, right?
Yes.
Now,
always.
Now they've got the Air, which isn't, it's not quite the same weird spot that the 12-inch MacBook was in. But now, you know, $1,299 versus $1,499. I mean, that's not inconsequential right. at that price point. $200 is actually quite a bit, right? It's about mm-hmm. 15%. But... And for students, you can start with an Air at $999, though that's a 128 gig machine, I'm sure, and I wouldn't advise yeah. that, but doable if you have to. So I guess that's where the Air sits now, is this is now the low end, and if you want something a little beefier, you can bump up, and mm-hmm. the Pro is, with that quad-core processor, I mean, that's a significant difference, so.
Yes, yeah. absolutely.
Yeah. It's good. You yeah. can tell the difference between these machines now. This is
yeah,
great.
The Pro is earning those racing stripes, which correct. It didn't used to, you know, until very recently. I think the Air sits a little more securely as the consumer machine as opposed to the Pro machine, because it says Pro in the name. Like, I'm only differentiating on that by itself. But
yep.
Taking the MacBook nothing, you know, the 12-inch out of the equation means that you have two choices. There's like a little bit lower end budget friendlier machine and a little bit higher end, a little bit beefier, longer term machine. So like when it comes time for me to replace my early 2015 Retina, you know, I'm going to look at my early 2015 Retina MacBook Pro. The MacBook Pro is probably the thing I'm going to go to. the thing I want to know that we haven't seen anything about yet is this may be the first Apple laptop headline of 2019 that didn't have the word keyboard in it.
Yeah, it's true. It's the first Apple laptop discussion we've had in 2019 that hasn't yet had the word keyboard in it up until now.
Until now, yeah. So that's my first question is, what is the keyboard on this? Because I want to know if they're just going to cling to this tenaciously. And, you know, yes, we think these switches are the better switches because I don't. I don't even like the keyboard I have with the scissor switches, but I like it a whole lot better than the butterfly nonsense they've been trying to foist on us for the last few years. So we'll have to see. Now, these also, Dave, what's the port breakdown on these? Do we know?
I'm pretty sure it's the same that it has been. So both of them in that regard are exactly the same. They've got two Thunderbolt 3 ports, mm-hmm. Or two USB-C ports that have support for Thunderbolt 3. That's the right way to say it, right? Because there are no Thunderbolt ports,
right?
USB ports, and the letter only describes the shape of the port, not the capabilities. So that's at least how I keep it straight in my head. So and is accurate. So yeah, two USB-C ports with Thunderbolt 3, and on the other side, one headphone jack. I was going to call it an audio port, but it is not an audio port. It is just a headphone jack.
Yeah.
And that is true of both of them.
Okay.
You can get a MacBook Pro with four Thunderbolt or four USB. God, why does Apple call them this? With four USB-C ports, not two, but mm-hmm. that's not the low end one. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yep.
Okay. So that was my other question, because that's another thing I like about my computer is I can plug in power and another thing at the same time, and there's still a port left. So that's another reason I keep holding on to mine. So
you can also get a dock with, I would call it a dock. Some people call it a hub, but, you know, a dock that allows power to pass through it, and then mm-hmm. you can do all those things. And quite frankly, I now that I have been in, you know, a portable with USB-C and Thunderbolt 3 land for 6 or 8 months, and I've traveled plenty with it, mm-hmm. I freaking love dongle world that I live in, because I can choose exactly the dongle that I want that gives me the ports that I want, and I customize my computer to my liking. And it's exactly what I want wherever I am. And I can choose a different dongle for, you know, use in the office, use in the house versus mm-hmm. use on the road, et cetera. So, yeah, it's pretty good.
All right. So Dave's bought a vacation home in Dongletown is what I'm hearing.
I do. I yes. My vacation home in Dongletown is where I go to bask. That's right.
Yeah, I think that's the first I've heard where someone said they like dongles.
Mm-hmm. I definitely do.
Yeah.
And it didn't take me long to get there either. It was right away. It was like, oh, this is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. My mom got a new laptop last year, and for her, we ended up with not dongles necessarily, but like strategically purchased a couple of cables so she can hook her camera up, and so she can hook her hard drive up and back up. She has a Time Machine backup drive that she plugs in. And so each of those we bought a USB-C cable for. So put this with your camera stuff. When you go on vacation, you can come back, plug in your camera with this cable, and it'll be just like you used to do everything before. You just have to use this cable to do it because the other one doesn't fit now. And then the same with the hard drive. The Time Machine stuff you've been doing, you just use this cable to do it instead. And everything is like it was with your old computer. And she so far hasn't had any problem with any of that. So that's been great. So I'm almost interested to see what we get next, right? Like, this update is great, but what, you know, is there another Mac coming? Like, are we going to hear, is that going to be the one more thing in September once we get the phones? It's like, oh, by the way, you know,
I would
here's
think
a new
so.
iMac or something.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the timing of this is obviously, you know, before August 1st, mm-hmm. when, you know, people are starting to think about what they need to buy for back to school. And clearly, I mean, it's targeted at that. So,
yeah, it's right in the headline.
Right there in the headline. You got it. Yep.
Yeah.
That's clearly what this is for. And that's great. But yeah, I think it definitely leaves room for, I mean, it seems crazy to say another iMac refresh in the fall, but there could be. I mean, this was what, October, late October, they came out with the Air.
Yeah.
And now it's already gotten a price reduction and a capability bump with the two-tone screen.
Yeah.
So, like, sure. It would be great. It's a really, these are easy ways for Apple to show a continued commitment to the Mac.
Yes.
Right? And you know, I like to think that they didn't intentionally hold back, you know, True Tone in the fall, that it was something that they were working on and now it's here. Mm-hmm. Maybe they did hold it back so that they could, you know, 6 months later, let's do a thing. Even if that's the case, like, they're thinking about the Mac. Like,
at that's all. A good thing. So, yes. At all. Yeah.
Right.
And it happened more than once. So, hooray. Like, all around. It's just good news all around. I'm excited for this because partly because all of the people who've been complaining that Apple isn't taking the Mac seriously anymore and that Apple's not a computer company anymore, like, have to adjust that because obviously it was just a matter of getting this stuff out the door in a reasonable scale. So I'm looking forward to it. I want to get my hands on one. I do want to find out about the keyboard. And I would like to find out from our listeners if anyone's excited about getting a new computer, whether it's an Air or whether it's a Pro, and what you decide about that. You can let us know at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. Our other topic today is another PSA. We brought Andrew in today to talk to us about if you attend meetings using Zoom, the app from zoom.us. If you're attending meetings with that, surprise, you have a web server installed on your computer. Right, Andrew?
Yes. So the news just broke. I think it was last night. That's when I first started seeing it.
Yeah.
So basically, there's this zero-day vulnerability regarding this web server. And Zoom installs this local web server, and that basically makes... That's how the magic works, right? You click on a Zoom link, and you can automatically go to this video call. Mm-hmm. But this web server can be exploited. So a website, it could, like, hide this Zoom video call in the link. You don't know what you're clicking on. Maybe you think it's something else, but it's actually a video call. They can force you to join it if you click on it. And the call can also, I don't know if all calls are invalid, but some of them could be. And they could repeatedly make you join this, essentially making a denial of service attack on your Mac.
Yeah, because now your computer can't do anything else. All it's trying to do is be in all these video calls at the same time, basically. So now you can't do anything, which is how denial of service works.
Mm-hmm. And so deleting the Zoom app doesn't delete the web server. That's the thing.
Yes.
And the web server can reinstall Zoom without your permission, which sounds kind of malware-ish to me.
Sketchy at best.
Yeah. So basically, in order to remove the web server, you have to copy and paste a couple of terminal commands, but it's really simple.
It is. I had to do it yesterday.
I published a how-to guide.
Excellent. I had to do it yesterday. Everything was fine. I understand, like, we were talking about this earlier, and I understand why they wanted to do it. Like, the problem they were trying to solve was making it a little more convenient to join a video call automatically. Like, I get that's what they were trying to do. I understand that to some people, apparently checking the, you know, clicking on video, like you have to do, like, on Skype, for example, you know, clicking on the video button, like, maybe that's too hard for some reason. I don't know. But I understand the problem they were trying to solve, which is if you always want to use a video call, let's just make it a video call. And this is how they went about it. I don't like how they went about it. Like, I'm glad they were trying to improve the user experience, but otherwise this seems not great. And Dave, you were saying, like, their CEO didn't really help. He just saw the fire and showed up with more gasoline.
So, right. I totally get how they got here. Right.
Yes.
Like, they wanted to make this experience smooth. And let's be clear. Zoom is awesome in terms of experience. It's great, smooth, the quality, you know, I mean, if you have really crappy Wi-Fi, then it gets crappy. But otherwise, like, they've done great things to make it really smooth and really work for multiple participants. And it just sort of gets out of your way. And with it, clearly that was, you know, the direction was mm-hmm. make it get out of people's way. So they came up with this little bit of, you know, quote unquote magic that allowed you to click a link and then it just automatically just went through and did its thing and everything was super happy.
Right.
That's fine. They didn't do it right. They didn't stop and think, okay, you know, wow, we left a hole open. In times like these, I'm always reminded of SMTP, which is the engine that is used to send mail around the internet.
Yes.
When it was created, it was build something that allows computers to send electronic mail to each other, and then it worked, and it was freaking amazing.
Yes.
And we basically still rely on the same thing. No one at the time put any authentication into it because they never thought about the idea of spam, right?
Right.
Junk mail. Nobody would send junk.
Because at that point, there weren't enough people with access to that network to send stuff you didn't want.
That was it. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah. And so, you know, it's fine. These things happen. I'm used to it. It's why the internet works the way that it does, because we're willing to take chances and break things a little bit. And like, that's fine. So they did a thing. The engineers did a thing. They didn't quite think about all the implications of it. They couldn't possibly think about all the implications. Could it be argued that they could have thought about this one? Yes. Did they? No. Okay, fine. Somebody tells them about it. And, you know, the response was, we recognize the desire by some customers to have a confirmation dialogue before joining a meeting. Based on your recommendations and feature requests from other customers, the Zoom team is evaluating such options for such a feature, as well as additional account level controls. We'll be sure to keep you informed of our plans in this regard. Like, no acknowledgement that, holy crap, we realize we opened a huge hole here.
Exactly.
And people could spy on you. Like, to be clear, you could visit a web page. We have not built this. Let me just say that straight out of the gate. But we could build a web page at Mac Observer that tricks your browser into clicking the link without you ever doing anything. The simplest way to do it is to just put the link to the conference in an image tag. And when your browser comes to Mac Observer, you load all the images. There's a trust relationship there. We have not violated it. So it's all good. But that's how someone could do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly your camera's on. If mm-hmm. you've ever, ever joined a Zoom meeting, now your camera's on.
Yes.
It's a little creepy. That should not be there. And like, as soon as you learn about that, you need to come out like apology guns blazing. Right?
Oh,
like,
yes.
We're sorry. Waving the flag. It's all good. Our fault. Mea culpa. You know, but no. So, yeah. There you go.
And this is where I will put in a plug for the utility Andrew suggested on the show ages ago, which immediately as soon as we were done with the show, I went and downloaded. That's called Oversight, which tells you, hey, yes. This is trying to use your camera. You want to?
Yeah, it's great. I use a lot of, I forget, I think the name of the company is Oversight.
Mm-hmm.
It's created by Patrick Wardle. He is a former NSA. I don't know if he was a hacker or some kind of computer person there.
Yes.
And now he is.
That's the same thing, but it's all fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
No difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he has a lot of great tools, and this is one of them.
Yes. And one of the things that I have enjoyed about it is that mostly it doesn't tell me anything, which is good because it means that the only time stuff is happening is because I gave it permission.
Well, and be clear, macOS with Mojave does this too.
Yes.
If you go into System Preferences, Security and Privacy, and then go to the Privacy, they call it a tab. I call it a button.
But it's not a tab.
Go to the Privacy section, click on Camera, and you can see all the apps that you have given one time. Well, you have granted once permission to use your camera mm-hmm. anytime they want. I think this gets even more granular with Catalina, but at the mm-hmm. moment, that's what we have. And so you could also just go in here and uncheck the box next to zoom.us.
Yeah.
And now Zoom won't be able to use your camera until you give it permission again.
Yes.
So that's another way.
Yeah, that was another thing I did yesterday, just as a precautionary measure, because I think I'm still going to have to use Zoom for things occasionally.
Yep.
So, but generally, I don't need the camera for that. So there are a lot of people I know who use Zoom as a podcasting solution because it gives you both an individual recording of each person as well as the group recording of everybody at the same time. So if you're doing this with the intent of publishing whatever conversation you had later on, then that makes it so that you have all of that data. And then, while we were recording, my stream crashed and everything was terrible, or my audio was crap or something. Like, it doesn't matter because you've got this backup that you can still go back to if you need to. And it's very, very handy. So if you are using Zoom, please go check out Andrew's how-to guide so that and go to the security section and disallow access for Zoom, because at a minimum, that will keep it. If you're like me and you want to continue to use Zoom for whatever it is that you want to use it for, then removing that access from the security area will at least make it prompt you. Like, do you want to do this? And if you're like me and you only ever use it for audio, like, you can just leave that at, you know, you can rip that out and it's not going to hurt anything. And you can still use Zoom. And hopefully they will be addressing this very soon. I know loads and loads of Mac users in particular who use Zoom for all different kinds of stuff. So hopefully this will get better in the nearer future than we're going to address it. We know that's a thing that's happening, because I remember there being very wishy-washy language around the time frame of getting this resolved. And one part of it that was resolved had some regression. And so then a subsequent update undid the thing that they did that was supposed to help this. So it's fantastic.
One last note is that yes. Ring Central is, for their video conferencing, uses a white labeled build of Zoom, so this also impacts RingCentral.
RingCentral, okay.
There's a Medium article that describes how to take the same patch that Andrew wrote up for Zoom and apply it for RingCentral. Just so
you. Okay. Good to know. Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Hopefully, we've got that out to you. And I guess if you're a heavy Zoom user, I know what you're doing over lunch today. So have fun with that. And that's going to do it for us today. I wanted to thank both of you for being here. Dave, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Sorry about your new laptop.
I know. Here's the deal. I learned a long time ago, and the advice that I give people is the same. Only worry about the price and capabilities of a computer the day that you need to buy it.
Exactly.
Search, hunt, find the best deal. And if that's the day that you need it, go do it. And then don't think about it for 6 months. Now, of course, this is about 8 months, so I'm allowed to think about it a little bit. But, but
your computer. The rules apply. Yeah, but you also got all those miles out of that computer.
I got without having to travel.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I'm totally happy.
Exactly. Yeah. Without having to nudge your old one along on life support basically until it was time for the new machine to come out or whatever. So, it's great. And I always tell people, unless you have dropped your phone inoperably, we know what's going to happen with that. So maybe you can hold out. But, if it's January and you're like, my phone has reached the end of its effective life, it's time to buy a phone. That's just when it's time. You go buy one when you need one. And just make sure you need one. That's really all it comes down to. And hopefully, maybe there's some people out there who are going to get new machines. We'd like to hear from you, too. Andrew, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm really glad both of you made it today. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. And in the meantime, be excellent to each other.